Kids, we would just leave it alone. Well, that's what we've just sung in Psalm 84 about the house of God in Jerusalem. The swallow and the sparrow are made welcome in God's house. Whether or not we would make one welcome in this church, I don't know, but in God's eternal home, there'll be plenty of room for all the animals and birds. Now, we turn to Psalm 27. Mm-hmm. Psalm 27, which we read earlier together. Page 557. And there are two verses in this psalm which I've chosen as the key verses. Verse 1 and verse 8. Verse 1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom then shall I be afraid? And then verse 8, my heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do you and I seek the face of the Lord in prayer? Why should we seek his face? Well, as verse 1 tells us, because he is my light and my salvation and my stronghold. He's my secure home. And according to this psalm, I either live in the presence of God, that is, before the face of God, or I live in the presence of fear. Verse 1 again, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? Fear is very powerful, isn't it? In the world. It's an extremely powerful emotion. It drives whole nations and peoples to do the terrible things that they do. Why is there all this killing in Rwanda, one tribe against another? It's because they're afraid of one another, afraid that if we don't kill them, they'll kill us. It applies to many, many areas of the world and Northern Ireland. It affects all types of people. Rich people are afraid. Poor people are afraid. Educated people are afraid. Uneducated people are afraid. It's a form of darkness in the soul. Its cause is the absence of God. Just think of this. Suppose, let's just suppose, there's no eternal life, no life beyond the grave. Then everything that we are to enjoy and to be good for us must come from this life, because there is no other if you don't believe in eternal life. Now this life is very, very fragile. It's vulnerable to all kinds of forces. Germs and illnesses and accidents. So we're bound to live in fear if we have no faith in God. In the story of Adam and Eve in Genesis 2 and 3, we read that they hid from the face of God, the opposite of seeking his face, and they were afraid. Why do not more men come to church? It's not that men don't seek God. It's not that women seek God more than men. It's because men are more afraid of meeting with God. That's the truth. Verse 1 does not say the Lord gives me light and gives me salvation. It says, the Lord is my light and salvation, and he is my stronghold. Sometimes we imagine that God is up there in heaven and we're down here on earth, and from heaven he dispenses blessings. He gives us life and salvation from a distance. But that's wrong. God's presence with us is his blessing. Imagine a family where the parents shower their children with presents and toys and all sorts of goodies, but never speak to them and leave them all alone. That wouldn't be family life at all, would it? So God doesn't shower us with presents from heaven to earth. We need him with us. That's why we must seek his face. The world wants its blessings, doesn't it? People say we want God to give us peace, or we want God to give us healing, or we want God to give us prosperity. But the world still tries to keep God at a distance. We want to keep him at a distance and yet blame him when he doesn't give us his blessings. Why do we want to keep him at a distance? Because we know that not only does he come clothed with the gospel, with his blessings, he also comes with his commandments. And if we don't want to obey them, then we'll want to keep him at a distance. Our sin separates us from God. So this psalm doesn't say the Lord gives me light, but the Lord is my light. Then verse 8, the key verse, my heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Face also means personality. We may sometimes be able to guess a person's personality from their face. I'm not saying we can do this or should try to do this, but sometimes we can tell that someone's got a generous personality. He or she have got an open face. Or they may have a mean look. And so in the Bible, the word face can mean the whole personality of a person. In the New Testament, we read that the light of the glory of God is seen in the face of Jesus. Because Jesus brings the whole personality of God into our world that we might know him. You know, there's some kind of religious piety, and you often hear it, which talks about a great love for Jesus. But God still seems awfully distant. God isn't mentioned often. But that's wrong. Because Jesus brings the presence of Almighty God into the world. He who has seen me has seen the Father. Jesus didn't always reveal his glory. He came, as C.S. Lewis says, in disguise, so that he might not dazzle us and blind us with his glory. But occasionally he gave a glimpse of his glory, unveiled the curtain. On the Mount of Transfiguration, remember, he went up there with Peter, James, and John, and he shone with a radiance that one day all his people, you and me, who believe in him, will have that same radiance. And so John says, we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son of the Father. And from that glory, all the beauty and majesty and grandeur of this planet Earth and of the whole universe, and of our life, has come. Do you want to be part of that everlasting beauty, majesty, and grandeur? How can you be part of it? Only one way, in the presence of the Lord, seeking his face. The Lord is my light. The Lord is my salvation. Salvation. The face of the Lord is not only beauty,
and glory. There's something else in the face of the Lord.
Isaiah 52, verse 13 onwards. See, my servant will act wisely. He will be raised and lifted up and highly exalted, just as there were many who were appalled at him. His face was so disfigured beyond that of any man, and his form marred beyond human likeness. And so he will sprinkle many nations, and kings will shut their mouths in amazement. They will see and hear something that they had never thought of before. His face was so marred. Refers to the cross of Jesus, of course. For as well as light, there is also darkness, as human guilt and evil and danger. And all of us know that here. We've all been marred in one way or another. The Lord does not give us salvation. He is our salvation. He himself bore the cruel sin of the world. His face was so marred that he hardly looked human. And Isaiah goes on to say, he was one from whom we hid our faces. When we saw him, we hid away. To seek the Lord's face means to draw near to his cross and see how it was marred for our sake. We spend much of our lives trying to justify ourselves, don't we? Saying it was others who were wrong and not ourselves. But before the face of the Lord, every one of us here realizes that it was our sin that covered him with grief. And so we say in the words of verse 7, the second part of verse 7, O Lord, be merciful to me and answer me. Have you ever prayed that prayer? O Lord, be merciful to me and answer me. The Lord is my stronghold. We spend much of our lives trying to give ourselves security from danger. We get insurance policies. We employ the police force. We have armies to make us feel secure. There's nothing wrong with that. They are needed. But none of them will save us from death and judgment and hell. We need another stronghold. The Lord is my stronghold. Not the Lord gives us a stronghold, but he is our stronghold. In the first letter of Peter in the New Testament, Peter speaks of the resurrection of Christ, his resurrected body, giving us an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. For in God's kingdom, made like Christ, there'll be no more weakness, there'll be nothing to fear, no more sickness. Our present bodies, the Bible says, are just our tents in which we live for a little while. Tents are not strongholds. We may do much to care for and ensure our bodies, but they will always remain tents. However much medical insurance we have, however well we care for our bodies, they're just tents. 2 Corinthians 5:1, Paul says, now we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Nothing in this world can give us eternal security. Even our own families may let us down. So verse 10 we read, though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Why do we get afraid? Well, perhaps we're afraid of being lost in the darkness of life. Fear that our own sins may find us out.
fear of losing our bodies in illness. As we mentioned last week, the writer of the Hebrews in the New Testament speaks of the fear of death giving people a lifelong bondage. Verse 1 again, the Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? So what must we do? Well, verse 4, one thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. One thing. We've got to be single-minded. Don't be double-minded. I want to dwell in the house of the Lord. That doesn't mean to say that you want to live in a church or a religious building like a monk or a nun. No. The Bible speaks of the house of God, the dwelling place of God, filling all things in heaven and earth. Heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool, says the Lord. Do I not fill heaven and earth? Revelation 21, I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men and he will live with them and they will be his people and God himself will be with them and be their God. A little later in the chapter, I did not see a temple in the city because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. There was no church in heaven. No church building, for everything is God's dwelling. The city does not need the sun nor the moon to shine on it, but the glory of God gives its light and the Lamb is its lamp. No church in heaven, no ministers and clergy in heaven, no police either, or judges, or armies, or soldiers. There is a place, though, in the universe right now where the glory of God does not shine fully. Where's that place? It's the planet Earth. The planet Earth. C.S. Lewis calls it the silent planet. It's the only part of the universe which doesn't fully voice the praise of God. And yet it's the part of the universe, this planet Earth, which God loves the most. But our sin has made a separation. However, there are on this planet Earth signs of God's desire to meet with us. There are church buildings like this one. When people walk along Borland Drive, they're reminded that there is a God who created us, will one day judge us. And they look at the cross on the top of this church and they're reminded that God paid an enormous price for our forgiveness. They may never come in. They may never more care anything for it. But they're reminded of that. The church building is a sign of that eternal dwelling place of God. So we come here week by week to show that we are waiting for that day when our redeemed bodies and this earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the seas are full of water. Verse 4 again. One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. Here in this church building, in a little way, we look for beauty. We have lights. We want beauty in worship. We sing and we pray. We do our best to make our singing beautiful. We're not all great singers, but we do our best. The beauty of the world is brought in. We have flowers here to remind us of that day when all creation will be filled with the glory of God. We also seek him in his temple. That means we seek his will for our lives. So we seek his guidance. And so in this place we also hear the word of God preached. And that leads and challenges our lives. It leads us to the way of salvation through Christ. And it tells us how we may live as his disciples. And this building is not only a sign of God's light and his beauty,
And his salvation, it's also a sign of his security. Outside this church, there are many buildings. There are council houses round here. They may be rented or bought or sold by good or bad people. But this building is dedicated to God. It must never be a furniture store or a warehouse. To guarantee that, we must continue to come, rain or shine. One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you for seeking our humanity and this earth to make your home. You created a beautiful world, and you at a great cost have redeemed the world to yourself through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, give us day by day, through the Holy Spirit, the presence of Christ, so that in him we might by faith see your face and live with you forever. Amen.